Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, descriptions, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth.
So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. I'm so excited I get to spend today with a fellow working creator mom who does things when she's pregnant like I did back in my day. It's so nice to spend time with you today, Carrie.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
So Carrie, why video?
Why video? I resisted video for a really long time, actually, in my work. And spent a lot of time writing, but I find that video is much, much faster, easier to connect with the audiences that I'd like to connect with. And it's actually a lot more fun than writing in some cases.
I always find that it's nice to be able to just talk things out.
Yeah.
Then I don't have to worry about grammar and sounding correct, because I do not talk like I write, and I often try to write like I talk, and it always comes across super weird. Like the translation between my words and my writing is not quite there. Yeah. So what do you create about?
So I help businesses and really organizations of any type, not just for-profit businesses, but I help them build meaningful, authentic online communities. So there is a lot of doubt out there about online communities, digital connection, social media, all the harm that it's doing. But we teach organizations and leaders within those organizations how to harness its power and do good with it. So that's
okay.
My career around.
You caught me in a sassy mood. I'm sassy every day, but you caught me in a sassy mood about this community buzzword.
Yes.
Very hard today, because I was just ranting about this with my coach. I'm like, could we stop saying community is everything, please? Could we stop talking about how, like, if you don't have a community, you have nothing? Like, to me, in the creator space, like, we're in May and everyone has been like drilling in the community. It's kind of like how, like, influencer and synergy and like those, I feel like that is the 2023 online buzzword. So my challenge to you in this question is, make me not hate the word community. How do you do that? Because I'm struggling with
it. I feel
it.
You.
Oh my God,
I feel
you. I'm struggling with it so hard. I'm like,
yep.
I want to build an audience that loves Desiree and what she's doing, and they show up for her because she's just sassy enough that I want to, like, I'm inspired by her and I'm like, yes, queen, do your thing. But like informed enough where they keep coming back and they just want more of what I have to give because I'm giving them lots of value. But ultimately, like, I want them to buy things from me, get on my email list, do all of that stuff. But like, I'm trying to build the Women of Video community into like a paid membership mastermind. And when I say I am this close to just like scrapping it and doing something totally different with it, I am not kidding.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's so many communities, I'm air quoting here, so many communities out there. There's so many platforms, there's so many tools, there's so many things around this. But everyone's talking about you need to build a community, but no one's like how to do it, how to keep them coming back, how to make them give you money, all of the things. Like, I've been building this Women of Video community on my YouTube channel for years.
Right.
Now all of a sudden I feel like self-conscious about it. I feel like I'm doing it wrong and all this stuff. So how do we not hate community? And then my follow-up will be is like, what does it mean to build one?
Mm-hmm. I love this question. I am a community strategist, and I still, the word community, sometimes I try not to use it because it has become a buzzword in many instances, especially in the business world, and people are not using the word correctly. So when I say correctly, I define community, and this is in my book with Charles Vogel, Building Brand Communities. I define it as a group of people who share mutual concern for one another. And a brand community is just any community, like I just defined, that is about bringing people together around not necessarily the brand itself or you, Desiree, but about what you stand for, what kind of progress people want to make around, you know, why do women of video want to get together? So that's what's really important about building brand communities versus just building broadly communities, like a neighborhood group, a running club, whatever that might be. So, okay. Yeah.
Define for me a brand community.
So a brand community is simply a group of people who share mutual concern for one another that is organized by a brand.
Okay.
That's all it is. Yeah.
So what would be an example of that, like at a high level that we might be able to mostly all understand or know?
Yeah. So, I mean, your Women of Video community would be a brand community of people who are brought together, who share mutual concern for one another, hopefully. It's not just about you. They're brought together and organized by you and your organization.
Under the brand. Okay, that makes sense. That's as local as we – that's the most relatable as we can get, I think.
Okay. There's also, like, huge examples, you know, like the Sephora online community. Airbnb has a host community. There's massive brand communities out there. But there's – I think the most powerful ones are run by small business owners, actually.
Okay, so because I had to interrupt because we needed, I think, to define brand community. So back to the question of like,
yeah,
what all that is.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of what it is and what it's not. So a lot of times you'll hear the rhetoric of community building, the words of community building, like connection and engagement and these other words that really don't mean anything until we get into the specifics of them. You'll hear these words, but you won't see them backed up with real action. And so you'll hear people say, everyone needs a community. Well, everyone has a community. You have your family, you have friends. You don't necessarily need a brand community. I think it should be something that you are deeply driven to build if you're going to invest your time and effort into it, because it is a long game. It takes a lot of manual relationship building, deep work. It's not something to do if you're not deeply feeling that people need to make progress together by meeting one another. So that's the difference between, you know, as a business owner, you can create and help people make progress in many ways. You can release online courses, you can do podcasts, you can have a YouTube channel, whatever that might be. But the difference between building a community around those things and building just an audience around them. So I look at those two things very differently, audience versus community. The difference between a community and these other initiatives is that in a community, people can then come together and meet the other people who are also on this journey with them, and they can make progress together with other people. So if I'm just watching a YouTube video, just going through an online course without a community component to it, that's fine, but it's not community building. And so if you find that that is necessary and you feel driven to bring people together around the topic, that's what the differences between building a community and audience.
Okay. So an audience is like surface level. It's like kind of very like from a creator standpoint or a brand standpoint, I'm talking at you.
Yes.
It's almost like they're your customer. They're just.
Or like, fans, like, you know, yeah raving fans, which there's, that's an amazing thing to have, are raving fans, but it's not the same thing as a community. Okay.
So, but a community is where the creators of the, like the brand, like me, the other members, it's like, it exists. Like there's like almost like a sub like culture to it. Like they're talking to each other, they're doing things together. They're, you know, it kind of exists almost without you as the brand.
Mm-hmm. It can, and eventually should. So one thing you mentioned was like, you know, it would be lovely to have a community of people that like love me and all this stuff. And like,
yeah,
that's, I mean, sure. Yes. that's really not the point of a community. Is in fact, when you have it like be all about the leader of the community, you're starting to edge into like some cultish territory. We want to be really careful.
The Tony Robbins, the Gary V, the Mel Brooks. And I hope I didn't come across this is like, love me, I need validation. It's not that. Like, I just, you know, you're supposed to build a community and an audience based on your unique selling proposition, your uniqueness.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to take an audience to a community. And I think that that is like where the struggle for a lot of us exists.
Yeah.
Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. But that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it.
Yeah, it is. It's a different work to do. It's different work to do. Creating content and creating offerings is different than building community. It just is.
So how, what are like some tangible steps, maybe just like three, that we can take from our time together that to help take our audience from audience to community?
Yeah. So, I mean, you already, like you said, you've been building the Women of Video audience for a long time. So what's important is actually the first step is understanding what your purpose is in the community. So again, like what kind of progress do people want to make in connection with others? So getting that really, really clear. And we have a way of teaching this and articulating this that's really unique to the work that we do. Because if you tell people to just like write your purpose, your results are just going to be like all over the place. So get really, really clear on that. Be really clear about who you're gathering. So that's step number one.
Okay.
And then step number two is then figuring out, okay, who is already in my audience who would fit this description? And a lot of creators will go out and say, okay, well, I'm just going to invite everybody to this community now, which is, I it's not a bad inclination to have. It's a good way of kind of testing the waters and seeing what kind of market demand there is for something. But actually to build a sustainable community, you want to make sure the right people are there. And so I recommend starting to think about who are the first 10 people that you absolutely want to be in conversation with one another and be in conversation with you and get, you know, closer as a result of that. So bring those 10 people together around that purpose and start that conversation, have them beta test, like maybe you're going to run events, like community town halls or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to launch a Discord server. And so you want those first 10 people in the Discord server with you to just be, you know, giving you feedback on the channels that you have set up, all that stuff. So just bringing those first 10 people together is a huge milestone. Yeah. And then from there, you can think about, okay, now I know that what I'm building has been validated by these 10 people and we're active in there and we're friends and now people know each other. They're making connections. Now I can expand this more largely. So then I can do a more public launch, bring this to more and more people from there. But if you struggle with the first 10, you're going to struggle with the first 100,000, all of those other numbers that we like to think about in the future.
Okay. All right. I mean, we could dive into this and more and more talk about, but I'm pretty sure you have a whole YouTube channel and a whole Instagram where we can go learn more about these things and grow that. And I think that's part of, like, we tease that here so we can go get more from you. I know that I will definitely be binging later today because your girl wants to understand this so much better so that I don't hate this word everyone keeps shoving in my face. I do understand its necessity and its relevance. And I mean, there are just so many things I love. People talk all the time about, like, if you do what you love, then you'll never work a day in your life. And I think that's a little like, but if I did what I loved, I don't think I get paid. I love my YouTube channel. I love my agency. I would do the Women in Video for free. I love what I get to do here. I love the conversations. It feeds my extroverted soul. I love helping women creators and building businesses and solving problems. It's my favorite for sure. So I can't wait to dive into like what I can offer to make a better community for all of us that are listening as well, because that's like my objective and goal. Mm-hmm. So now that you've talked about how to build a community and stuff, like how did you get here? How did you become a community leader expert in this space? Like what led to this journey for you?
Yeah, so I'm definitely an accidental community manager, as we often call it within the community professional circles. I actually discovered online communities when I was a teenager. I was a very shy, awkward, quiet teenager, and found it really hard to have like deep relationships in my life. So I discovered around my teenage years that I could make friends on the internet. And that in fact, in many cases, these relationships can go deeper faster than in person. And so it was kind of like my testing ground for, you know, figuring out, oh, wow, you can form real relationships on the internet. This was like amazing to me. But the lessons that I learned through that, I realized can be applied well outside of online communities. And so it's kind of amazing to me that I went from this like very shy and quiet and afraid teenager to now this is like what I teach people to do, the thing that I was most afraid to do. I now teach other people how to do. But I didn't realize that's what I was doing at the time. I just was following like what my needs were. And then when I entered the workforce, I worked in publishing for a little while, had a whole career going down that road. And then I switched to working in startups and found that a lot of tech companies were not realizing that, yes, the technical infrastructure of their companies was extremely valuable, but also they had all of these customers, suppliers, producers within their networks that didn't know each other. And so the value of their knowledge was getting locked behind closed doors. And so I started to build communities for tech companies and startups in the mid-2000s or mid-2010s, I mean, and have kind of gone from there. Quickly became, co-founder and COO of a company called CMX, which teaches people how to build communities. Did that for about 4 years, and then now consult and do this full-time.
Okay, so obviously from doing all of this and being an OG in this space, like you've been doing community building as long as I've been a social media manager, which I find incredibly rare, which means like you were probably very much on like the forefront of it. And it makes a little bit of sense since it was in tech, like tech's always ahead of things. Yeah. Like I've had this joke lately, like I'm marinated in the chat and GPT space, but then I go look at my clients and my customers who are small business owners and they're like Facebook. They don't even have Facebook pages, and like that's the problem. So it's like it's so easy for us to be ahead, like in that tech space. So, how was one of like the biggest lessons that you had to learn, maybe the hard way or the unusual way, like that you can share with us about how community, like how community affected you, you shaped you? Like, I think you get what I'm trying to ask. Like, what is a lesson you've learned in community building that has a story you can share with us so we can learn from it too?
Oh man, so much. I learn something new every day, even now. The more I do this, the more I realize I don't know. I mean, I can share something specific to, you know, especially being like a woman entrepreneur, in this space and being a female community leader in this space, especially coming through technology, very male dominated even still. And even though there's more equality across organizations in the upper echelons of leadership, there's still, you know, a major disparity between men, women, non-binary folks.
That's the whole reason this exists.
Yes.
There were women YouTube educators, but they were super hard to find and they had a much different perspective. They had a much more focused like mentality about they were building business and brands versus just teaching people how to be YouTubers. So
yeah.
Preach, friend.
Yeah, you get it. And that's absolutely true in the community building space as well. There are, you know, a number of other teachers and people who can tell you how to build community and all that. Up until fairly recently, and even still, most of the ones that get the most respect, command the most in fees, whether that's speaking fees or consulting fees, are men. And yet community building is in and of itself something that is often seen as feminized labor. And it's something that women have taught men how to do, I feel, in our society and culture. And yet you've got this flipping, and a lot of men are trying to then kind of like masculinize and rationalize and make everything really logical in community building. But it's very emotional. And I think women are like just more naturally suited toward this work oftentimes. But the thought leaders and the experts in this space were mostly men. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, I mean, I know what's going on, but
this makes it so hard to connect. Like, yeah. I don't even think it's so much about emotional or vulnerable. It's like, it's relatable. Like, I'm going to be able, I think, to connect with and feel that I can actually learn and do if I see myself in this person.
Yes.
That is there. Obviously, a man can't be a woman, but there are still other connection points. Like in my case, it'd be like being a breadwinner, having kids, having a struggle with balancing home, work, kids life, connecting with your partner. Like there are like without those personable like pieces, it's very difficult, I feel, at least from my perspective as a woman, it's very difficult to trust them and believe what they're saying.
Well, their experience is just different because we're treated differently, and it's nothing inherently negative in and of itself. But it's like, I think one thing I realized, and this is a lesson for community building specifically, is that that's not going to change unless we step up and lead. And yes, we're going to encounter all kinds of, you know, pushback and probably, you know, their frustration and anger. I've had many of these men don't like me very much. You know, like, but even despite that, it's even more important that we show up and not give up, because it's really easy to give up when we see those other people. Like, it seems like they're having an easier path to success, which they're not. They're having their own struggles. But I think that's true of all community building, is if you're not going to step up and lead the space that you know needs to exist, then who will? Who's going to do it? And if they do it, are they going to do it in the way that you would do it? Probably not. So if you see that this gap exists and that this that there needs to be leadership around some area, then waiting around for someone else to take up that mantle and be that leader is a recipe for disappointment. So then you're going to have to step up into it. And that's what I realized really over the last, like, I would say 8-ish years, is that I thought somebody else would come in and like build the resources, build the community that I wish existed out there. And I was really in the shadows, especially of, you know, of the men that I worked with. And that was partially on me for feeling like, oh, they've got this. I'm like, no, they don't. Nobody does. And so we've got to step up and be those leaders if we want to see these communities exist in the world, which I know a lot of us do.
Mm-hmm. So what community have you built? Like what's the Carry community that we, if we feel that we've connected with you and know that we can go like join, learn from, be a part of?
So the main community that I run today is actually around one of my cohort programs that I run for community builders called the Engager Online Community Accelerator. And that is for any community builder, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you are an in-house community builder at a big tech company, small business, whatever it might be, to come and learn the skills of how to build a community strategy and then share with your peers all of the stuff that comes up as you do that work, because it's messy work.
So you have a community about building communities?
Yes, it's very meta.
I love it though. I have a video podcast about video creators, yeah. So I totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the main community that I run today. And then I was instrumental in creating the CMX community, which is now, you know, 20,000 members strong, and continues to educate people and advocate for community professionals around the world.
Love it. Love it.
So sorry to interrupt our episode. I know we're getting really into it, but are you looking for a powerful, easy to use tool that can help you take your video to the next level? If so, I've got just the tool for you. Today's episode is brought to you by Adobe Express, the all-in-one solution for all of your content creation needs. With Adobe Express, you can easily create stunning videos, design eye-catching thumbnails, clip and trim your videos with ease, and schedule your content for social media. One of the standout features of Adobe Express is the range of thumbnail templates that are available. With dozens of customizable templates to choose from, you can create thumbnails that are both visually appealing, informative, and help your videos stand out on that crowded home feed of YouTube. And when it comes to video clipping, it makes it so much easier to repurpose your content from those long-form videos to all of the other vertical video platforms, and you can easily share them with the scheduling tool within Adobe Express. So if you're ready to take your content creation to the next level, head over to Adobe Express and start your free trial today. You can find the link to get signed up for today over in our show notes at womenofvideo.com. And remember, Adobe Express is the perfect tool for taking your content to the next episode. All right, back to the episode. How are you building your own brand or business with this and from this? So are you like independent? Do you have another job? Like, what's the business like and look like for you?
Yeah, I'm a full-time consultant, strategist, creator. This is what I do all day, every day. And so I think about, you know, I use social media. I use like, especially these days, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn is the big one. I used to be really into Twitter, but Elon Musk came in. It's really a shame. And so, yeah, I use that to build and like share and disseminate the knowledge, and also like tell stories about what's happening inside of the communities that I run and my client stories and things like that. I sell consulting services. We do our community programs, masterminds, things like that. And we create corporate training programs.
I love it. So is it just you or do you have a team?
I have a team. Yeah. Okay. It's myself, Wiley Gaby, who is our director of operations, and Kelly Shetron, who's our director of strategy. So Wiley and I work together really closely on like all the digital programs, and Kelly and I work really closely on all things consulting, client services, all that good stuff.
Awesome. Okay. So let's talk about the details of creating our content. I always love to talk about like the equalizers for everybody, like what do you film with, all that. So what do you film with?
I'm like, I'm looking at the camera right now because it's above. It's a Sony, I think the Sony Alpha. I went and splurged on a really nice camera. I was like a refurbished one. So I think it was like $1,000 or something like that, which I know is not necessary. You don't need to do that. I started out with a webcam and I just upgraded like 2 years ago. So
I find anything you use is necessary. Yeah. But also some people like to keep it lean. Some people are like, I use my phone. That's totally fine. Yeah. Who are your favorite female creators right now?
Oh man. My executive coach, Tanya Geisler, is amazing. So follow her on Instagram. Okay. She teaches about like imposter complex, imposter syndrome, and leadership. Just creates such inspiring content. I've been really, really deep in a number of Discord servers recently. One is like a community for, I'm not even sure who runs some of these Discord servers because it's hard to tell sometimes like who the leaders are. So, but there's one called like, I think it's like Houseplants or something. And it's just the sweetest little server where people share like my plant's dying. What do I do? And then a bunch of people will come in and say, here's what you should do with this plant. Or they'll brag about the, you know, the health of a different plant. So, just like people who are starting up these little cute, cozy Discord servers. I just love,
love that cute, cozy Discord server.
Yeah, Discord's all about the cozy web. That's what they call what they enable, which I didn't know a lot about until about a year ago. It's definitely like more for the Gen Z set.
I'm going to need to know more. So what is a cozy Discord? What does it mean to be cozy online? And then what is a cozy Discord?
Yeah. So I will say I'm not like, this is Discord's terminology. So I'm not speaking on their behalf. They are also are a client of my organization. So I just want to caveat this with that. But when they're, so they talk about something called the cozy web, which is a term that is coined by another expert whose name I will have to give you afterwards. But it's about creating these smaller, intimate spaces. And that's why Discord can sometimes, the servers can really struggle when there are massive numbers of people in them. But it's a place where people can feel like they can have intimate, real, deep relationships online. So what in my book, Charles and I coined like campfire experiences, where you feel like you're sitting around a campfire with people versus in this big auditorium where people are shouting at you and like Tony Robbins is on stage. It's a vast departure from what we've seen from social media, which is like big web and like massive amounts of information. It's like private spaces that are curated and all that.
Oh, I love that. Okay, sorry, we got distracted by this cozy thing. I know I've heard of cozy gaming, where it's like from like the Switch community, it's where it's like like farming games and things, where it's just like simple simulation sort of thing. So I was like, apparently it's the cozy life is taking over and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Very hard. Okay. So we talked about creators that you love. We've talked about what you film with. What are you looking to do? Like, what's the next goal you're looking to accomplish on your creator journey?
Okay. I was going to say getting this baby out of my body and into the world is number one. I'm in my third trimester. We were talking about that earlier.
How many weeks are you specifically?
30 now. So it's getting real uncomfortable.
You've got at least, hopefully, 8 weeks left. So, but it's, I'm sorry. My best recommendation to you as a woman who's been there is you need to do pregnancy yoga.
Yeah, I do. I do once a week, but I feel like I need to do it more than once a week.
Okay, so this is I'm aging myself with my pregnancy game. I bought a DVD, and I'm sure there's a digital version of it somewhere. I bought an at-home DVD that I did, and I still do those exercises because it's a lot of hip work.
Yeah.
So like, so good. I highly recommend. I got to that point heading to my third trimester with both my children where I was like, we're doing this every day. And the fun part was like when my son was around me, he was in the like 15, 16 months, he would like, that was his time to attack mommy or he would try and mimic my moves. Yeah. So, but I had to do it. Otherwise I'd be equally uncomfortable. So I'm sorry that you Okay, so after, I know you want to get a baby out of your body. It does not have to do with your creator journey.
No, it doesn't.
So what's your creator journey milestone you're looking forward to crushing?
Yeah, it is a very, I'm at a transition moment right now. So it's interesting. Like this question is one I'm holding a lot and I wish I had a very clear answer for you. But I'm actually, the next step in my journey is actually to take a step back.
Love.
Which is going to look like slowing down a lot so I can focus on family, but also so that I can see the bigger picture of what's going on right now. Because I think we technologically are at a pivot moment, a transformational moment with AI and everything else. Whether you realize you're using it or not, AI is affecting every interaction you're having with technology today. So I finished my master's degree in community building, digital community building in January. And I just feel like I need to take a big step back and look at what's going on right now. So I'm actually going to be working on my second book. That's what I'm going to be doing, which is going to be all about digital leadership and hopefully getting those skills out to more folks who want to build communities, who have come to resent the word community for all of the reasons that you described, and really do the real work, the stuff that's going to make you feel like you're coming alive when you do it. Because community building is amazing, but it can often be, like you said, it's talked about like something you need to have and you must do. And it's just feels that's not what we're doing here.
It's like the next checkbox.
No. You know what that's going to create and has already created is a bunch of crappy communities out there. And then everyone's skeptical of communities. And then they keep going more and more and more insular. And that's why we have the world that we're now living in. So,
you know, to make this a bit more maybe relatable with what you just said there, there's a guy on YouTube. He's everywhere because he's what he does. He used to be like the creator partnership manager for YouTube. His channel is called Creator Dynamics. And his name is Matt. There it is. Took me a minute to remember his name. I was like, who's this person I talk to when I know? I'm remembering your face till I die. I might not always remember your name. You've been warned. But he just talked about this yesterday in a YouTube video that came out where it's like the risk of a new YouTube feature. And his whole thing was like, well, now there's YouTube podcasts. Is this something that like they're really pushing this you need to do? But it's kind of like YouTube goes in these cycles, like where they like pushing something like, just got done with shorts. Now we're doing podcasts and there's YouTube stories and there's all of the community tab and all of these things. And so it's like, you kind of feel as a YouTuber sometimes, like you have to do everything all of the time. Like I need to be publishing shorts and stories and community tabbing. And now I got to add a podcast in for long form content and all of these things. Just because an industry is talking about something a lot doesn't mean you have to do it if what you're doing is working.
Yes.
And you're also making money.
Yeah.
Like I went back to serious basics with my business at the start of this year. I joined a local networking group. It's called BNI, Business Networking International. It's a thing. And it's very dependent on the group of people. Like I've been in a bad one so I didn't do it. And I got introduced to it by my neighbor of all people. And I love this group because it's very like you can build true friendships with people who understand business.
Yeah.
And I had moved, I'm still new to my area. And it's been hard to meet people. So being able to know I have this community of like 40 business professionals that understand my journey, my struggles. They might not understand my business, but like they get that part. Like it's amazing.
Yeah.
But there's nothing older in business than networking and word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I live in the digital space. Like my business is digital marketing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you've got to go back to basics and do some things that help you beyond just like one agenda, which again, why communities? So you can essentially say, I found an in-person business community in my area.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what that is. So like if it's working, you're doing it, like you don't have to do what everybody else is like pushing down your throat.
Yeah.
Because then it could take away attention from the things that you could be doing that work and that are already like to grow with.
I think that's so important because that's what YouTube wants you to do. YouTube wants you to create a podcast. YouTube wants you to create shorts so that they can compete with Instagram and TikTok. YouTube wants you to do those things. That doesn't mean that's what you should be doing. Like you should do the things that both meet your audience's or community's needs and that make you feel alive and like you're making a difference in people's lives. And for me, that looks like I make 10-minute long YouTube videos and that's all I do for now. That might change in the future, but I'm not going to work on YouTube schedule. Like I'm going to work on my schedule for these things. I'm going to figure out when that makes sense for me. And it's the same thing. There's a good corollary in like the fashion industry. Like the fashion industry wants you to dress a certain way. So they're going to release, you know, every spring, they're going to release like the spring trends, but you know what? Most of those trends aren't going to look good on most people. The colors won't work for you, the sizing, the shapes, all of it. Like, don't listen to the fashion industry and what they want you to do. Listen to what you know works for you.
Exactly. So like for this example I talked with Matt, YouTube is in the platform business, not the content creation business. Mm-hmm. You could literally substitute out blank is in the blank business, not the blank business. So like you could literally talk about like where everyone's talking about community. It's like the creator economy is in the shiny, shiny business, not the what's best for your business business. Like, it's just one of those things that you really have to like focus on that and ask yourself the question, is this going to take away from what's working and what's making me money?
Yeah.
Or is this going to have the opposite effect?
Yeah.
So to bring it back to like what you're working on and your goals, whether it's like getting out a human being. Is this your first human being?
Yes.
Okay. So getting out your first human being and then going through the journey of figuring out how to be responsible for said human being is a lot. That's what you should totally focus on. That's what you want to spend. If you want to get real aggressive, like the content marketer in me is like, you should batch your content. Every time you record one video to publish now, make another one to publish while you're on maternity leave. Cause you should be doing that for at least 3 weeks or 3 months because that baby literally needs you to exist. Mm-hmm. Like feeding, changing, cleaning, loving, existing, like it needs you. And again, one of those foundational things that make us as women unimaginably unique compared to men. Like men can't do that. They can think they can, but they can't totally do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great goal. Get out a baby. And while you're feeding, maybe you're like thumbing it with notes for your book and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also like feel like this is, I don't know if you need this, but I'm just going to say that unsolicited, that if you need this, like you also don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
Focus on being a mom. It's,
yeah,
it's incredibly crazy and hard and rewarding and emotional, and what it will do to you chemically and physically.
Mm-hmm.
No one can truly ever explain to you. Because it's not to scare you.
Yeah.
Like I always like, I made this thing that I would die for. I would literally stab my husband and keep my babies. Like I love them, but they make me crazy at the same time where I'm like, I have fantasies about buying a camper van and running away. Like it's nothing. But I would never do that because I would leave my babies and I love them and I need them. And I will go into their rooms and just kiss them and stroke their faces and be like, they're never going to be this little again. It's a journey. So like the true statement of like, they will never be this little again. Just sit in it.
Yeah.
Marinate in it. Love it. Let everything smell and be dirty and gross around your life, but this baby can just be everything. And I promise it's totally fine.
Yeah.
I could show up and clean your kitchen and make you food. I would.
Thank you. Yeah. No,
we get in our heads about stuff, like things that we think we're supposed to be doing.
Totally.
And all this stuff. Don't. Just be a new mom. It's it's the best and the hardest all at the same time.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have, I guess, like 7 to 10 weeks to plan your future so you can have this break. And I absolutely love that for you. After you climb out from under all of that and all of the things, like what are you – do you think – again, I don't even have to ask because you don't know because you're going to be crawling out from under this. I'm going to ask you this. What's your theme song? You're in the final push of getting that baby out. What song is playing to get you through it?
I have a pump up song that I listen to every time I do like any kind of speaking and I should probably, I was going to make a playlist for deliveries. it's Carrie Hilson's Pretty Girl Rock. I don't remember what year it's from, but it's like 15 years old.
Rock.
Yeah.
Rock. I know that one.
But it starts you're like, my name is Carrie. I'm so very fly. Oh my.
Yeah.
It's a little scary. I'm like, yes.
I had someone ask me that. I've been speaking for years. And for the first time, they're like, what's your entrance music? And I'm like, so I'm going to come out to Who Run the World by Beyonce. Oh,
that's a great one.
You can't go wrong with anything Beyonce makes. So perfect. Well, where can we go binge watch you, Carrie, and learn about communities and see if it's right for us?
Yeah. So you can find me on YouTube at Carrie Melissa Jones. That's my channel name. And then same thing on Instagram at Carrie Melissa Jones and LinkedIn as well. So those are the places to find me.
And we will have the links to those in our show notes for sure, which you can go find over at womenofvideo.com. Thank you so much for your time today, Carrie. I'm so grateful for everything that you're doing and what you're doing to make the world better and more educated so that we know what we're doing on this crazy ball floating through the sky. Remember, you and everyone listening are possibly amazing. Until next time, peace.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with #WomenOfYouTube with your thoughts.